Everyone, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with your championship man, I'll be sure. And I got my guy, my right-hand man, the champion, Dylan Smythe. What's up, man?
How's it going, Batman? How's life over in Gotham?
Oh, it's doing just dandy. You know, when you once again finally beat the Joker. This is if the Joker like was consistently beating Batman, and Batman finally prevailed. This is what this would feel like.
Well, the joke was I could hear the sirens since you live in the hood, apparently.
I don't live in the hood.
The hood of Gotham.
I just happen to live right across the street from a fire department. So. Mm-hmm. Is this gonna be part of the pod?
Yes, this is the intro. Continue.
I just happen to live across the street in the fire department, but for whatever reason, sirens seem to go on every time we record. So we're just gonna keep it. But I will say that sirens were out loud and heavy in Lubbock last week when the Texas Tech Red Raiders won the Big 12 championship, defeating Iowa State on the road. Technically, they're co-champions, but I don't give two craps about K-State. We are the real champions. Go Tech.
Pew, 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 pew. Those are the sirens. It would have been nice to be outright champions, but I'll take co-champions. At this point, I'll take it. And you're right. We beat Iowa State, who ended up winning the whole Big 12 tournament. So a little positive to take out of that tournament. Let's just ignore that game against West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, so when it comes to co-champions, I've always found it funny that nobody ever recognizes the co-champion. Like, Tech will never, 30 years from now, we will never remember that K-State was a champion in 2019. 30 years from now, K-State will never remember that Tech is a champion in 2019. We will tell everybody that we were the only champs. Mind you, Kansas has won 14 straight Big 12 championships, but they had actually tied like three or four of those. So, like, but you don't remember that, right? You just remember the fact that Kansas won 14 straight.
Yeah.
Somebody else made a good...
There's not an asterisk on the back end of that statistic, but there should be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody else made a good point about it, saying that, like, if Kansas was the tie this year, nobody would care that who tied with them. And it had just been Kansas won 15 straight.
Yeah, correct. Well, and we partied like we knew damn well Kansas State was probably going to split the conference championship with us, but we didn't care. We partied like it was our own, and they did the same thing when they won their basketball game. So,
yeah. So I mean, that, like I said, it doesn't matter. Tech Big 12 champions, first men's basketball Big 12 championship in Tech history, first conference championship since they won the Southwest Conference back in '96. Really big accomplishment by Chris Beard, and you're already starting to hear the chirps from other universities thinking about trying to snatch them up.
I just love how there are a lot of universities out there who are not as good of a basketball school as Texas Tech is in this moment, who think they can poach him.
Yeah, so the obvious one is UT, right? Like, so the Chaka Smart is on the hot seat. Questions of whether he'll get fired or not. I think he's deserving of firing. But other people in the chat have made a good point. His contract is crap. I think the buyout is $11 to $13 million just for him not to coach anymore. Not to mention the buyout you're gonna have to pay for whoever you do get. Not to mention the millions you're gonna have to pay that salary. You're looking at potentially $20 million you're gonna have to pay just to get a new coach.
And I think I've already heard either the AD or like a member of the board or something say that they're keeping him next season.
Yeah, so they're keeping it because it's too expensive. It's too expensive not to. And so, which makes me say that Shaka Smart is the Cliff Kingsbury of Big 12 basketball, right? You don't do enough to stay on, but you stay on simply because the contract's too much.
Yeah, pretty much. And it doesn't help that we're recording this on Selection Sunday. Texas is not in the tournament.
Yeah, no, they... Them losing in the first round for them was the kiss of death. Because the thing about it is, I truly believe the tournament wanted them in. They wanted them to get in. And Texas has had some good wins. They did beat North Carolina, shockingly. I don't know how. But they have some good wins. They beat Kansas. They have some good wins on the docket. Their problem is that they're 16-16. They cannot pick a team that's 16-16 in the tournament. I don't care if Texas would have beaten the 16 best teams in the country. You cannot take a team that's 500 and put them in the tournament. You can't do it. That is what it comes down to at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's something as simple as saying this team has just as many losses as they do wins. We cannot say that they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, I tweeted something out like that today. Like, a sub 500 team doesn't deserve to be in the tournament. And it's true, unless they win their at large bit.
Yeah, yeah. If they win the conference tournament, that doesn't matter. But as far as at large, you cannot put them in the tournament. They needed at least, really, I think they needed two wins in the Big 12 tournament, to be honest. I think they needed two wins in the Big 12 tournament, and then they would find themselves in. They couldn't even get the first one. Texas did not deserve to get it.
No. Texas is not back in football or basketball.
So with that being said, that's the obvious one. That are looking to potentially get Chris Beard. It might be a year from now, but they will come knocking on Chris Beard's door when the time comes. But one surprising one that I did not see coming, A&M just fired Billy Kennedy. And apparently on their short list is Chris Beard. That's a shocker. And that's simply not going to happen.
It still doesn't feel like a better situation to me, so I don't understand why he would go.
Well, here's the deal, is that there is very few schools that are going to be a better situation than what Beard has now, right? So the first thing that when you ask yourself as far as better situation is money. That's the first thing you think of. Would A&M be willing to outspend Tech? Now, does A&M have more money than Tech? Yeah, of course. But two things. One, do they care about basketball enough? Now, A&M does care about basketball. I'm not saying they don't. They do. And I actually think they maybe care about basketball more than UT does. But do you care about basketball enough to outbid Tech that right now is in the heyday of their time, right? Tech is going to do whatever it takes to keep Beard, right? They're already paying him $3 million. A&M may say, we'll give you $5 million. Tech will match that. They say, we'll give you $6 million. Tech will match that. Are you willing to pay a coach $8 or more million to steal him away before he ever coaches a game for you? That's what A&M has to ask themselves. I don't see them doing that. So that's not going to be the case. Facilities. Beard has convinced Tech they're going to build a brand new basketball facility for him. Will A&M do the same? Probably not. So, like, that's what I'm saying. There's very few schools where is going to be a better situation for Chris Beard.
We're about ready to build a bronze statue of him outside.
Yeah. Like, the school that, and I think I've said this on the pod before, the only school that truly scares me to steal Coach Beard is UCLA.
Agreed.
Because UCLA cares about basketball enough, has the money to do it, has the facilities to do it. They're the only school that, yes, it's a better situation than Tech is. And they're the school that I think. But so for him, it's more so, I've built something here. Do I leave it and live the sunny life in L.A. or do I continue what I'm doing here? And that's really what he asks himself in that situation.
Well, and not only, I think the big argument against Texas Tech is you can't recruit kids to come to Lubbock. Well, Beard is doing it. I mean, we just got a huge pickup the other day, Terrence Shannon. Another just forward who can handle the ball. We're going to play four forwards next season, and it's going to be beautiful. Each one of them can handle the ball. Like, he's recruiting to Lubbock, and that's the used to be the biggest argument against Lubbock.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it was a futile argument. In the podcast that never happened, unfortunately, Gocher said it himself, you get players to Lubbock, they'll love it. And Beard's made that the case, and not just Beard. I mean, I after he said that, I thought he was wrong. I looked it up. But Tech actually has a fairly good success rate when getting players to Lubbock. You get players to Lubbock, they'll love it, they'll commit. And he's right, right? A lot of players come to Lubbock, they're like, hey, I don't know, come to Lubbock, you get there, they're blown away by how nice it is. That's the reason why I went to Tech. I came to Lubbock, and I was like, at first I was driving in, I was like, ooh, what the hell is this? Got to the city, and I loved it. Right, and that's how you get 17-year-olds to come to Lubbock. I do think that the recruiting to Lubbock thing is a myth. I don't think it's tough to recruit to Lubbock. You can't tell me that. Oh yeah, kids hate Lubbock, but they love Stillwater, Oklahoma. Like, no, get the F out of here. But yeah, and Beard is definitely proving that.
Yeah, like I said, big pickup since our last pod. Terrence Shannon, just another player to add to that stacked roster we're gonna have for next season, but. We got a tournament coming up this season.
Well, I will say, before we move on to the tournament, you know, Tech right now is the number two recruiting class in the Big 12 and top 20 nationally.
Yeah, buddy.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's unheard of. Like, just getting one or two of these players is unheard of. The fact that we've gotten four or five of them that's boosted our rankings that much is nuts.
Yeah, definitely. So you teased it already. NCAA tournament. Texas Tech's obviously in, but a three seed in the West region in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Everything is coming together so much like last year. Remember last year, all we wanted was Dallas. This year, all we want is Tulsa. And everything seems to keep working out for us. And not only that, I think we got the best region. Like, the region is not difficult at all to me. And we could go a little bit further into that. So Dylan, talk a little bit about the players that, or the teams that we have in that region.
You know, I think you're right. There are some regions that are worse. I mean, there's a region with both Duke and Michigan State in the same region. Screw that. You know, our first matchup, we're going to dive deeper into that game in a next pod. I need to do some tape study on them. Northern Kentucky, never heard of them. But, you know, Michigan's there. Michigan under John Beilein is consistently a good tournament team that can score the basketball. So they're obviously someone to watch out for. Buffalo is, if I'm looking ahead to the next matchup, Buffalo kind of scares me. Those dudes can score with the best of them.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, Buffalo is kind of a scary matchup. Watch out for Buffalo. We got John Morant against Marquette. That's going to be a fun game to watch. Either one of those teams
stamp
are decent.
If you're listening to the pod, 12-5 is always going to be a matchup. Book it.
Yeah.
Murray State will beat Marquette.
Agreed. Yeah, John Morant's going to Russell Westbrook that thing and get them a dub. There's got Baylor, Syracuse up there. That's actually a fun matchup I'm looking forward to. And then, of course, Gonzaga at the top, which, you know, they're a one seed for a reason.
So Dylan, you did the really nice thing of like really pumping up everybody so we don't overlook any opponent, and you know, anybody can beat anybody, and that's very true. You know, Tech could lose in the first round, who knows? But all these guys suck, point blank. this Michigan team was supposed to win the Big Ten and they didn't. I think they're not as good as even a two seed, to be honest. Gonzaga, I will say this, with Gonzaga being the one seed, I think if Gonzaga will ever win a national championship, this is the year to do it. There's no great team in the NCAA right this year. Gonzaga, before they lost to St. Mary's, was on a pretty long run. They actually have a top 10 pick, which they usually don't.
Rui Hachimura.
Yeah, Hachimura, however you say his name. So they have all the pieces in play to finally win a national championship. So they're definitely tough, but at the same time, I think they're probably the weakest one seed. I did not want to be in a bracket with one of the ACC powers, Virginia, Duke, or Carolina, and we weren't. We got Gonzaga. I think we got the weakest one seed and the weakest two seed in Michigan, who you could argue is I think that Florida State, the four seed, could beat the two seed Michigan. Florida State is actually the team that scares me more than anything because they just won the ACC final. They're kind of hot themselves. But we just talked about the fact that I don't think Marquette beats Murray State. So I think this, and to go off of your Buffalo thing, I think you can also stamp them as an upset. I think usually you see a first four move on. And I think one of the first four guys, whether it's Arizona State or who else is it? It's Arizona State and who else?
SJU? St. James?
St. John's.
St. John's.
St. John's. Oh, I want St. John's to win that game so bad. I want St. John's Tech in the second round. Tariq Owens revenge game right there. But yeah, I think this bracket last year when Tech was in the NCAA tournament, Tech was in the same region as both Purdue and Villanova. And Villanova was bar none the best team in college basketball last year. And Purdue had just such size advantage that I actually didn't think Tech was going to be able to make it past them. They were able to make it past Purdue but couldn't go past Villanova. But that was a very tough bracket. And this year, though, I feel like Tech was given the exact opposite, given one of the weaker regions to be in. Everything sets up for Tech to make the Final Four. And, you know, every year the Tech's in the bracket, I always automatically put them all the way to the Final Four anyway. This year, I'm actually doing it with some conviction. I actually think they have the team to do it.
You know, I will say you're right in one sense. I look at this region and I think Texas Tech can go toe-to-toe with any team on there. And last season when I was filling out my bracket, I put Texas Tech Villanova and I said to myself, nah, it's really just not going to happen. And I'm not saying that this season about any of these teams.
No, like, there's nobody that scares me at all in this entire region. And that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Tech is hot, despite the loss to West Virginia in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Tech is still hot. They did have still won 9 of the last 10. And so they can use that momentum, use the what they've had, and kind of push forward. Right, like I said, I do want St. John's in the second round, so Tariq Owens can have his revenge game, because I think that's going to be a blowout if that's the case. Right, get us to the third round. You know, I'm looking ahead to all these matchups, and I'm thinking Tech can really make the final four. The only team that I think kind of scares me is Gonzaga, because they have size, they have veteran leadership, they have all that jazz, and they have a star in Nakamura. But with the exception of that, you know, I'll say this: one of these three teams will make it to the final four out of this region. Because you need a star. You do need a star. And the only three teams in this region have a star. And that is Murray State with John Morant, Gonzaga with Hiro Nakamura, or however you say his name, with Ryu, and Texas Tech with Jarrett Culver.
That's fair. I like what I saw from Florida State in their tournament. Obviously, like you said earlier, yeah, they just won it. They're insanely athletic. Kind of reminds me of what we're going to be next year, but Florida State's a little worrisome, but you're right. There's really good opportunities here for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, and you are right about Florida State, but we won't see Florida. If with Florida State, they're on this other side of the region. So if they do get hot, we won't see them till the Elite Eight. We won't see Florida State or Gonzaga till the Elite Eight. Right.
Right. We're probably seeing two teams, in my opinion.
Yeah. Most likely we'll see one of those two, but we won't see them to the Elite Eight. Right now you're looking at a Northern Kentucky team in the first round, either Buffalo, St. John's, or Arizona State in the second round, which I think that either way, that's a dub. Then you're in the third round. You're probably looking at a Michigan team. There's a good chance Michigan doesn't even make it to the Sweet 16, but if so, they don't scare me. Like, I just think this sets up so beautifully for Tech. It's amazing.
A Michigan Nevada matchup would be really interesting to me. Nevada could totally get that done.
Actually, I'm probably gonna pick that now that you say that. Nevada's a very good team. So actually, as another team, I'm more scared of Nevada than I am of Michigan, but I'm not scared of either one. Right? Tech, I mean, I'm telling you, this is Tech fans, we're not actually being homers here. This is it sets up very beautifully for Tech. I live in Houston. I was actually joking that UH technically is seeded higher, but got screwed in their match, in their bracket, with they had North Carolina and Tennessee as the 1-2. Give me Gonzaga, Michigan over that for sure.
Oh, and then there's the Duke, Michigan State 1-2.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We thanks, committee.
Yeah,
really helped us out there, for sure. Well, that's enough tournament talk. It's time to talk about some Red Raider baseball. The Red Raiders, man, I tell you, we got our resident Jacob Harris, our baseball expert here on the line, and Tech baseball. They pump you up and then they bring you down at the same time, don't they, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, this weekend was a little rough, but we showed some positive things and. I mean, I think we'll get back out there this weekend, and I think we'll come out with some good wins.
So, Jacob, I was watching the game today on Sunday against UT. So, to flashback, Tech lost game one, if I'm not mistaken, had a one-hitter on Saturday, right, in a very close game against UT. And then today, in the rubber match, close game throughout, defensive game throughout, but UT scored late to win the game. What happened there?
We just lost it down the stretch, and I mean, both of our losses. It looked like it was going to happen again yesterday, too. I mean, we had the bases loaded with two guys out in the bottom of the ninth, and Clayton Beater was able to get the last guy out. But I mean, they've all been really close, tough matchups. I mean, today, Montgomery took a no hitter in, I think, the fifth or sixth inning. I mean, the pitching's been great. That hasn't been the problem. Problem has been that we just can't score runs. I mean, you outscore Texas 9-8 over the weekend. You only get one win. That's kind of disappointing. But man, we got and it starts with Josh Jung. Man, he needs to get going. I mean, he had a home run. He had a home run today to bring it to within one. But man, he's just been struggling to start off the season. It's been rough to watch.
So do you think it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that we've lost so many veterans last year from last year's team?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I still think this team is a College World Series team. I still think this team has the potential to win the Big 12 championship. It's just, as with every Tadlock team, there's just some positions you're going to find in April. I mean, we're not going to probably not going to find our third outfielder till April. I mean, he's still experimenting with Cody Masters, and I think Gabe Holtz our solid outfielder, but he's throwing Otremba and Noisy and Doug Facendo out there. Even is he just throwing a bunch of guys in the outfield? The infield's pretty well set. Catcher's pretty well set. It's just finding the guys that are going to come out of the bullpen too. It's just there's still a bunch of holes in this team, and Tadlock needs to just find the guys, and that's what we need to do. That's the goal.
So the next weekend's matchup is going to be against Michigan. Pretty big matchup, I believe. It's Michigan,
and,
right?
And Stetson.
And Stetson, yes. Michigan, yeah. And Stetson. First off, timeout. Why are we playing two games, two teams in one day? Was that like a rainout or something?
No, it's just the way that they're doing kind of a – I guess kind of the only thing I can remember – kind of close to this is whenever you're in high school football scrimmaging, you just kind of did a three-team scrimmage. It's kind of like that. You know, we're going to play Michigan three times and Stetson twice, and Michigan and Stetson, I think, are going to play once or twice as well. It's just the way for three teams to cram some games into a weekend.
I guess. That's going to be interesting, playing six times in 5 days. But hey, no, I mean that'll be a treat. That's that next Saturday at Rip Griffin Park. You basically get to watch what is that now? Three games you're gonna be able to watch for free, or I guess not for free, but
let's see. No, I'm looking at the schedule now. It starts Thursday, ends Monday. Texas Tech plays every day from Thursday to Monday, and then Michigan and Stetson play a couple here and there.
Oh, okay. But still, quite the series right there. So let's do a little preview of that of Tech Michigan. What do you expect in that game or that series?
I expect a couple of couple good games. Michigan's a good team this year. They got some good pitchers, especially on the back end.
They're ranked, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're 21st in this last week's Division I poll. I think it's going to be some good matchups, you know, probably some close games. Stetson, not so much. I think, Sunday and Monday's game against Stetson, that's kind of one of those kind of try to figure out who's going to play. I mean, we're just going to throw a bunch of guys out there and see what they can do. Probably some pitchers that you probably haven't seen too much, some true freshmen, stuff like that. That'll probably get some playing time where they normally wouldn't. But I think it's a good way for us to figure out if, you know, any of these young guys that we haven't really seen that much, they can make an impact coming down the stretch.
Now tell me a little bit about Stetson. Now I don't know anything about Stetson. I assume that they're trash because they're a small school and a small conference, but at the same time with baseball, you never know. I mean, hell, Dallas Baptist is a good program.
Yeah, Stetson, they're not very good. They're 8-11 right now. They really haven't beaten anyone very good. I mean, they beat the only Power 5 win they have is against Maryland, and they lost the other two games they played against them. So they just haven't – they're just not very good. It's – like I said, it's just going to be a game for Texas Tech for us to come out. They're out some random guys – they haven't really played much, and it's just going to be to see if anyone can contribute later on down the road.
Oh, so we're going to be able to rack up some W's, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Rack up some W's. All right, man. Well, that goes it. We have our baseball correspondent here. Tech right now, 12-5 on the season. It seems like at home we've been doing pretty well, but on the road, even when it seemed like kind of a home game because we set the record over at UT's baseball stadium but couldn't get it done. Two close losses to UT, but still a long season to go for the Red Raiders. What do you expect going forward?
I expect us to win at home, kind of struggle on the road like we have. That's just part of having a young team. we're gonna have to grind out some wins. You know, Josh Young and Gabe Holt are gonna have to lead the offense. Cam Warren too. He's had a great couple weeks. That pitching staff's just gonna have to keep doing what they've been doing. They've honestly been the surprise to me for this season so far. I thought the bats were gonna come out hot, and they really just haven't. But the pitching's kept us in games, and I hope that will continue.
All right, awesome. So last question, Jacob. Do you have your tickets booked for Minnesota the first weekend of April?
I don't, but I wish I did.
Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith.
Hey, if I had the money and I could afford to, you know, leave school early and go to the Final Four, I definitely would. I think we'll be there.
As one, the prophet Little Flip once said, you see it, you want it, buy it, own it. Dylan, do you have your hotels booked for Minneapolis?
You know, I actually was just thinking to myself, like, what the heck is happening in Minneapolis? And then I looked at the bracket and I was like, oh, okay.
Lord Jesus. What do I keep you around for? I tell you. I bought my tickets to Minnesota back in August. I was that confident. Back in August, booked it. I'll be there, baby.
Let's just get a ticket sponsor. We're working on it.
Well, you know, I'll get my sponsor when I'm in Minneapolis. All right. Or get hired by somebody and leave you two behind. Either one of the two. But Jacob, where can people find you on the Twitter sphere?
They can find me on the Twitter sphere at Jacob Harris _55.
The hell is a Twitter sphere?
I don't know. I'm having trouble with words today, it seems.
Twitter skewer.
Dylan, where can people find you on the tweet deck?
At Dylan Smythe 92. Maybe Dylan Stank Meme Stash. I don't know yet.
That you have to have a dank meme stash to call it that.
What if, I feel like I've heard this before.
We Dem's totally have.
Yes. Dem's the rule. And as always, you can find me at Mr_IllBeSure. You can find us at Viva the Matadors on Twitter and on Instagram. Go to Instagram, like the page, follow the page. It's a great page. As always, the Red Raiders are in the NCAA tournament, 3 seed. They're going to the Final Four. You heard it here first. They're going to the Final Four. We are going to have a Viva the Matadors bracket challenge on ESPN. We'll make it. We'll blast it out. Please be on the lookout for that. You should see it here in the next, on Monday. So that's when this podcast will be published. So for Jacob, for Dylan, for Albie, as always, stay wrecked, people.